Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. It's a Talladega week. Let's get excited. Let's talk Xfinity Series picks. It's always fun to talk about Talladega Xfinity. There's a Cup Series video up too. There'll be plenty of videos throughout the week. Let's have fun. Let's do some early week research. I love digging through the spreadsheet that you can get at RaceForThePrize.com. Check out the pricing, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App if you want to get access to all this data. It will make it very easy for you to build lineups. It'll save you a ton of time. And it's just fun to look through the just piles of plate track stats. What we've got on the screen, I mean, there are so many ways to sort it. You want to look at top 10s, top 5s, Talladega only, Daytona only, Atlanta only. Or maybe you want to see who's just surviving these races. Let's start with top 10s. Shane Van Gisbergen, SVG. Oh, he's a road course racer. How is he good at plate racing? Anyone is good at plate racing. Survive. Oh, wait. I think we are contractually obligated to tell you right now, stack in the back. Now, that is a more proven theory in the Cup Series, but it still holds true in the Xfinity Series. A little bit lighter because of the disparity in equipment. And we tend to see some of the top-tier drivers fill in the optimal lineup a little bit more often. And there's a little bit less place differential chasing in the Xfinity Series, but just to a degree. Stacking the back is fine, but you may not want to be as aggressive. And we'll review that data throughout the week, or you can search through that data on your own if you get the spreadsheet at RaceForThePrize.com. But stacking the back, still going to be that option because we are chasing place differential, hoping to select the drivers that avoid all the carnage. And there are several ways that we can try to predict that. It's never going to be perfect because it's super speedway. It's a plate race. It's a pack race. It's a draft race. Now, we'll go through Talladega because there's always this sentiment that maybe Talladega tends to be a little bit more tame than Daytona. And I believe that is true. But again, that's just to a degree. And Talladega, same nature of racing, can be just as wild. And so you're still going to want to stack in the back, or at the very least, target drivers that can maximize place differential. And also, though, leaning more into finishing position, because some of the guys that you chase in the back may not necessarily be able to maximize finishing position and may not be the best option. We want place differential, and then choosing between those, we also kind of want to lean into finishing position, but I don't want to over-exaggerate that because we'll look at some more data that says maybe that's not always the case either. Anyway, we're looking at top 10%. So here we are not necessarily talking about place differential, but we also need drivers to finish the race and finish up front. And you've seen that SVG has done that, and you may say, oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. And he even has the top 5 in his 2 races. And again, that shouldn't be too much of a surprise given that he runs for Kulig. And Kulig has absolutely dominated the plate races or super speedways in the Xfinity Series. And to see SVG jump in and have solid performance, not really a surprise. Parker Kligerman, a 78% top 10 rate in the Xfinity Series. That's pretty good. 7 top 10s. Very methodical. Knows what he is doing. That is an exceptional number, and someone that we probably will target later this week, but he may fall off the board because he may not be able to maximize place differential. Sammy Smith, also with a pretty solid number. Cole Custer, now we're starting to see drivers with a little less lower percentage of top 10s because it's an attrition race. You got to survive, you got to make it. And so as we go down, these guys are by no means locks or guarantees, but it's just to show some of the drivers that have tended to get into the top 10 more often than not. I mean, look, Jordan Anderson at a 60%, a 57% top 10 rate, you wouldn't believe those numbers at an intermediate track. Say, oh, Jordan Anderson at Texas gets the top 10 60% of the time. Get out of here. Well, at plate races, he does. Like, oh, yeah, well, it makes sense. They're all just running and not crashing, and Anderson was always strong in the truck series, almost won at Daytona a couple years ago. J.J. Yaley, methodical and smart, never really has good equipment. Knows how to get through these races. Kyle Weatherman appears to have a pretty solid approach. Brandon Jones, you know, a guy that seems to always disappoint, find ways to fail somehow through a large sample of super or speedway races, right? He's been in the Xfinity Series before you were born, and he's at a 52%. Now, another way to select is you can go top 5 if you want to be really aggressive, but another general idea is look at their non-top 10 percentage. And so this is just a way of seeing really a way that they're wrecking out. It's not quite a DNF, But if you're not finishing in the top 20, then you're not going to be in the DFS optimal lineup, and you more than likely got caught up in some sort of event. Small sample size for SVG and Jesse Love, not a small sample size for AJ. Again, another colleague racer. 87% of the time, he is right there in the lead lap battling for the race. You like that? If he is in the pool this week, I imagine that they're going to give him a ride. I can't imagine that he's not going to take a color card this weekend. Parker Retzlaff, small sample size, but he's there. Truex, smaller sample size there. Jeb Burton, another good racer at Super Speedways, has a Talladega win. Was range shortened. It was with Kolig, but Jordan Anderson cars have been pretty solid at the Super Speedway. So again, he'll be on the board. Kligerman, no surprise. We just talked about him. Yaley, no surprise. Austin Hill, perhaps the best racer in Super Speedways in the Xfinity Series. Atlanta seemed to be his cup of tea, but you know, don't sleep on him at Daytona either. The guy knows this track. RCR has been putting together some really fast cars over the last several seasons, and even going back to the Austin Dillon days. Dillon won Xfinity races for RCR in the Xfinity Series. So definitely can get on board with that. Again, you're looking for drivers who can make it through and survive. A lot of different ways to try to narrow things down, but this isn't too helpful in that it is a good refresher and who has been generally good. But ultimately, what it's going to come down to when you're making your selections on Saturday is looking at, you know, drivers that aren't particularly appealing. Drivers and equipment that typically isn't very fast. And you're going to have to make not necessarily tough decisions, because everyone is doing the same thing, circling around the same rough drivers, dead drivers, like vultures, and saying, well, I hope I pick the rotten corpse that isn't the most rotten. I hope that the bones still taste halfway decent as I gnaw through them. You know, you're going to be looking at Cesar Bacarellas, or Bacarellas. You're going to be looking at the Alpha Prime cars. You're going to be looking at the back of the mid-pack, hoping for survival. JD Motorsports, Daughter cars, and it only takes two or three of them to come through. Most will not make it. Most will wreck. Most will not maximize finishing position. But three or four will slip through the cracks. And hopefully you will select those drivers. So we'll just look at the patterns. If you have the spreadsheet, you can see all the optimal lineups going back to even before the inception of DFS. So technically, this isn't an optimal lineup. This is a top six lineup, because in 2016, we didn't have DraftKings Xfinity Series. But the others, since 2018 on, are actual optimal lineups. But as you know, for the most part, and it's not always the case in Xfinity, more so in Cup Series, but I don't mind doing this. For the most part, the opto is the top six. Not always the case in the Xfinity Series, but I don't mind going ahead and considering that for 2016 data. Maybe that's too aggressive, but Talladega, come on, man. Get it together. And as you can see on your screen, just real quickly looking at some of these previous top sixes or optimal lineups, you're seeing starting positions that are deep in the field, and you're seeing finishing positions that are towards the top 10. And on average, if we look at all of these races since 2016, Talladega, your average starting position for a top six driver is around 23rd, and they're getting a top 10. We may not need to be as aggressive as we are in the Cup Series with our stack in the back and our 30 to 10 to win, getting 50 fantasy points, but I think generally that is a good idea. So again, stack in the back, go ahead and tattoo that on your forehead or write it on your body like you are Guy Pearce in Memento, get that tattoo slapped on. And you can also throw in the 30 to 10 or 29 to 9. That's going to give you around 50 fantasy points or more, and that generally will get a driver into the optimal lineup. That's not always the case in Xfinity Series, because we do see some of the top-tier drivers kind of carry the day. So keep that in mind. One of the big trends to look at really is starting position. And if you've watched the Cup Series picks, you'll know that. So right here, what we're seeing is, all right, how many times since 2016 has a driver on the pole ended up in the top six in fantasy scoring? Only three times. These numbers are significant, slightly lower in the Cup Series. And that's because in the 20s, in the Cup Series, you have pretty strong cars. In the 20s, in the Xfinity Series, they're not quite as strong. They're not quite as capable. They can't quite maximize finishing position. And so that gives a little bit more leverage to the top tier drivers starting closer to the front. And that's why you see a little bit more pop from the top 10, ninth here in the Xfinity Series, because you're getting equipment that is significantly better. You're getting drivers that are significantly better. You're getting drivers that are more experienced. Whereas in the Cup Series, the fields at a super speedway, there's really not much of a degree in equipment difference. There's not much of a degree in driver experience difference, right? They've all come through the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Cup Series, and have plenty of super speedway races under their belt. There's just not that disparity in the haves and have-nots. A little bit more the case in the Xfinity Series. So you can move your scale a little bit forward. And, you know, usually, generally, the hypothesis would be that you're getting a pretty good car, pretty good driver, starting ninth. That driver is maximizing his place differential with 8 points, which is probably enough in the Xfinity Series, and also getting the win. May not be the driver scoring the most fantasy points, but is the driver that scores inside the top six. Seeing 11 kind of pop off in that same category. The teams are okay. Not quite that hot. Maybe a spot higher than what we see in the Cup Series. One of the more interesting trends is that in the Cup Series, we tend to see a lot more of the 20s being the Goldilocks zone. The hot spot, porridge is not too hot, not too cold, just right. And again, that's because in the Cup Series, we have pretty good drivers, pretty good cars, pretty good equipment in the 20s. Not really the case in the Xfinity Series. When we get outside of like top 15, 16, there's a drop-off from probably 15th to 30th in equipment, where most of these guys are about the same and not really as competitive. And so really, once we get out of the top 20, these guys are all about the same. And so whereas these guys in the top 20 are fine and can score, but they're not markedly better than these drivers. And the drivers in the top 20 that score points, they're not driving to the front because they're better or have better equipment. They're not. They're getting there through attrition, survival, and wrecks. And that same formula, that same recipe holds true for the drivers in the 30s. And so we're seeing much more in the 30s in the Xfinity Series than in the 20s, whereas in the Cup Series, it's the 20s, where the 20s are markedly better than typically the drivers in the 30s, and they really can maximize finishing position. The drivers in the 20s that will start there have just as much of a case for a top 15 or top 10 as these drivers, because they're not getting there because they're better. They're getting there through wrecks. And if it's wrecks that benefit the drivers in the 20s, then it's wrecks that benefit the drivers in the 30s. And so we see the Goldilocks zone move back. We're really chasing back here. Now, the numbers look good. It looks green on the screen. But that doesn't all really mean like, well, then I'm taking five guys in the back. If you look at some of the optimal lineups, it's more of like three or four in the back. And in the Cup Series, we can feel pretty comfortable hitting five or six guys in the 20s. In the Xfinity Series, although we see the number move back, it's not completely filling the lineup out. Either way, the stance is the same. Whether you're taking four or five guys stacking in the back, it does seem that you're really going to want to lean more towards the 30 to 10. And it might even be more of a 30 to 15 in the Xfinity Series. But this is what the data suggests. These are what the numbers are. And I think generally my analysis is pretty correct in that not really much of a difference in these drivers. They're all getting there the same way. And if they're getting there the same way, then we just want to maximize place differential. So there's that data. Now, the next thing you might want to look at is, all right, well, what does Talladega kind of look like in terms of these optimal lineups? Is it a little bit more tame? And so we'll look at some of these past optimal lineups. We'll start with last race in the spring. And you got four in the back. You got a Parker Kligerman, duh. Cesar Baccarella, there it is. Did the Vultures pick the right corpse? And he's had quite a few plate races, but he hasn't been very good. And obviously, look, he's just running in the back. He survives at the end and gets a sixth place finish. He finishes 21 spots better than his running position. He survived. He made it. Joey Gase. He survived. He made it. Ryan Ellis. He survived. Made it. We're leaving $7,900 on the table. If you can see that over here. Again, another thing that will be common. Don't worry about how much money you leave. How much money is too much? It doesn't matter. And then you get, which makes the Xfinity Series a little bit more unique, our drivers starting closer to the front who don't have the best day, but get just enough place differential, win the race, and there you go, Jeb Burton. Cole Custer, 18th, 4th. That one's not really that crazy. You get a decent driver with enough experience starting close to 20. That's fine. That's a popular pick. If we were to expand further, we got other guys in the back. And optimally, yeah, you wanted to play these six. But realistically, if you did just go with Greg Allening and you went with CJ McLaughlin and said, let them wreck, let there be chaos, it's more likely you had the winning lineup. Your lineup wasn't perfect. They really only missed out on a couple fantasy points by not chasing the front. So if you did just go straight stack in the back, you're fine. Let's look at the 2022 Dega race. Now, you want to stack in the back? Didn't work out for you in this one. It can happen. That's what makes the Xfinity Series a little bit different. A little bit more tricky. Cup Series, minimal research. You know, you can do as much as you want, but with the Xfinity Series, you're going to have to think a little bit more. You can be a little bit more creative. And here we're getting guys that are maximizing finish. They're getting double-digit place differential when it works out, and they survive the chaos. 13, 18, 14, 8, 12. We get Herbst to 23rd. That's fine. That'd be pretty chalky. J.J. Yeley, as we mentioned earlier, pretty solid at Super Speedway, starting 35th. Pretty obvious play there. Then more guys starting in the front. But you do get two of these guys in the back. So, again, I find it highly unlikely that someone built this optimal lineup. And if you were to go through and look at winning lineups, I find it more likely that it probably had a combination of Herbst, which wasn't really a head-scratcher. Probably had J.J. Yeley, again, and at least had one of these guys, Clements starting 37 or Josh Williams starting 30th. So at least 3 to 4 of those picks probably weren't the most insane and beguiling. And really, you just had to kind of chase a little bit with Castle, maybe. Or even you dared to take Age Allmendinger, who's been very solid with colleague, gets the win. So really, yeah, the optimal probably wasn't going to pick it. But when you zoom out and think about it, would it have been that hard? You would have won plenty of money by stacking in the back and taking a couple of these guys that are a little closer to the front, but not deep. Again, the Xfinity Series, I don't mind taking guys in the teens that have success. You just need to pick the drivers that don't wreck. Let's see. So far, it looks like just keep stacking in the back. 2022 Dega Spring Race. Noah Gragson starting 19th. Yeah, you'll take Gragson at 19. That's perfect for the Xfinity Series. Now, do you want to take top-tier drivers in the Cup Series at 19? Yeah, I mean, that's not bad either. It always depends on where you draw your line in the sand. Everyone differentiates to or does that different. You know, some people set the line at 20. Some people say, I'm just looking at drivers starting 25th or back. You know, we got that 20 to 30 zone where it is a real sweet spot in the Cup Series. And so sometimes you take a step over that line to try to get a little bit different. In the Xfinity Series, maybe that line's closer to 15th. And so Gregson firmly in a position where he can score plenty of fantasy points. It wasn't hard for him to get to 50. He hit 65. And I mean, look, what is the sixth highest score here? It's 50 fantasy points. Could he get to 50 from 19? Yeah. That puts him in the pool. 30 to 10, you're in. 20 to win. So 30 to 10, 29 to 9, 28 to 8. 20 to win. Or 19 to win. I don't know. Does that rhyme? Doesn't rhyme. Either way, 21 to 1. Close enough. Mike Snyder, 31. Fine. Jamie Benn. AJ at 13. That's deep enough, given that it's AJ. Again, not one that was really completely out there. Joe Graff is Joe Graff. So I'm sure that probably scared you a little bit. But he is in the back. It's kind of in that dead zone of the 20s. But, you know, the beauty of Joe Graff is ain't nobody rostering him. So you take a guy who's running in the back who always wrecks and has problems, and he comes through the one time, you're definitely alone at top. Riley Herbst at 20. If you like Gregson at 19, you like Herbst. So that, again, is not something that really was wrecking your brain on Saturday of that slate. Gase at 36, stack in the back. Shane Lee, stack in the back. You do have a couple drivers up here in Earnhardt with a 1 and Alfredo with a 12 getting into the top 10 DFS. You didn't need them. You know, Kyle Sieg scored the same amount of points basically at 37. So again, if you went stack in the back, you were Gucci. Do we still say that anymore? We don't. No cap. Is that what we say? 21, Daga Fall Race. So far, we're like, oh, it's Daytona, Talladega. Is Talladega a little more tame? Should I not stack in the back? So far, we're saying, yeah, go ahead and stack in the back. Maybe it's not optimal, but you're probably going to build a winning lineup. Joe Graff again. Oh, my goodness. The vultures circling, doing skin grafts on Graff, 40th. Brandon Brown at 19, not particularly appealing. He does win this race. You may remember this notorious event. I will not utter the words because we are just now monetized. And so there are phrases that you don't want to use to keep the money coming in. Well, there's not really money coming in. But hey, since we are talking about the YouTube channel and the monetization, like, thank you guys. Love you guys. Subscribe. Join us. I love having you here. I really do. I really appreciate all the support and all the comments and responding to the comments. Channel's growing, seeing new faces, new people coming over, embracing what we do here. We all work together, have fun, provide insight, ask questions. I try to save you time. I try to make it easy. Try to make it fun. Get you into fantasy NASCAR. And in return, by you PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App, maybe you get the spreadsheet. Maybe you just want to send a tip because you want to support the 3Ds. Diapers, daycare, and ding, 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 Mickey D's. If you read the comments, hack for you to know. There's plenty of McDonald's hacks. Actually, I saw one of the food influencers that I follow, Lefevre, I don't know. It's been on Rogan a couple times. He gets like 3 pieces of quarter pounder meat only and throws salt on it at McDonald's if you're in a crunch. Interesting thing to do. I'm really never in that situation. But my hack as a former McDonald's employee is get that side of Mac sauce. I don't do it anymore. Incredibly unhealthy, but side of Mac sauce. Dip your fries into it. You'll thank me and hate me later. Anyway, come on. Join the team. 19th for Brandon Brown. Don't say it. Don't say it. You can say it. You can chain it. I don't care. I'm not going to. Jordan Anderson, 29. Duh. Joey Gase, 39. Yeah, it's one of those plays. You probably didn't go with Brandon Jones, and it probably didn't hurt you. Take Yaley in the back. Maybe you missed on Burton. It's fine, because you had Buford, and you had Ferrucci. Santino. He'll probably be an IndyCar again this year at the Indy 500. Crashing out. I don't know why I always root for this kid. Maybe because he's hated by everyone, has such a bad reputation, but there's just something particularly appealing about him. Anyway, if you stacked in the back, you were fine. You may not have been optimal. You don't have to be optimal. All right, so this one would have killed you. Jeb Burton again, starting 9th. I guess after a while, you just start playing Jeb Burton while the field does not. Herbst at 19, that's not crazy. Ryan Sieg at 17th, you don't really like it, but he's starting deep enough. AJ at 11th, we have seen him in up and winning lineups, starting in that position plenty of times. Brandon Brown again, starting 18th. He had pretty solid Super Speedway days. You don't love it, just like you don't like Ryan Sieg. Well, let's say you don't go there, but maybe you dance with AJ. Maybe you dance with Herbst. You probably didn't need Cindric. No one was likely playing Cindric. He didn't score the most fantasy points. Oh, we ran over the maximum here on the treadmill ruck. But we will keep going for a little bit further. Start it back up. Hopefully not burn the motor out. As we close out this podcast, hopefully you can deal with those beeps in the background. So let's just say, because it looks on the screen like, oh no, the stack in the back didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work for the optimal. But there are drivers in that top 6 that we would have targeted. I can't take the beeping. Well, you're just going to have to deal with it for a second. We're almost done. We're almost done. I feel like we're at the doctor's office and I'm with myself. We're almost done. That's a lie. We're not almost done. You got 17 more blood draws left. Just get through it. Be a man. But I'm 5. Be a man. Tough enough. I'm not that hard on it. Sometimes I am a little bit tough on him. Anyway, so let's say you missed on a couple of these guys. So did everyone else. No one built this lineup. But if you targeted the right drivers up here, which some of them aren't that crazy. They're not that insane. And then you went stacking the back with Martins, Hill, and Howard. Oh, well. Martins at 23rd isn't necessarily the back. It's close. Maybe you missed on him. You got a couple more down here in Starr, Colin Garrett, and Landon Castle at 32. You were pretty close. You were in competition. So my general takeaway, although Talladega can be a little bit more tame and the Xfinity Series can favor the better drivers, and we do see the better drivers tend to get in when they're starting in the teens, it's not really breaking the mold. We are still stacking in the back. We're still 30-10 to win. We're still chasing place differential. Don't get so caught up in trying to be optimal. Just try to build a winning lineup. And in the end, you really can't control a lot. You're just hoping that you pick drivers that survive. It's a lot out of your control. You can look at the data, but just because you did that in the past doesn't mean you're going to do that in the future. It does give us a general idea who tends to survive these races. We do see Burton's name pop up a lot. We see Allmendinger's name pop up a lot. We see the Colic cars pop up a lot of it. Heck, we saw Joe Graff pop up a lot of it. So my advice to you early in the week and then later in the week, don't be so hard on yourself. Have some fun. Enjoy it. Don't try to build the optimal lineup. Try to build a winning lineup. Stack in the back. 30 to win. I am Race for the Prize. You are a great people. You are a great people. Thanks for joining me. I love what we're doing. I'm having a blast. We should have fun this week. Truly blessed from the bottom of my heart when I say that to have you guys around. Have you guys watching. The views are through the roof. The likes are through the roof. You've been very supportive and positive. Your contributions have been absolutely great and helpful to me, especially during tax season. It's awesome. Very thankful. Blessed. I do love you guys. I really hope that one of you hits it big this week. And as always, trip to life fantastic.